Psalm 34. Let's reel it in. I did not prepare a lengthy message. I do want to give you probably one of my 3 points today, but I'm going to ask you if you'd give me your attention. I'm concerned about our generation in this realm of thanksgiving. You read Romans 1 and you see a lengthy list of wicked sins at the close of chapter number 1. And I believe it's summed up because it says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And a lack of thanksgiving will lead to a lot of sin. We need to have thank you cards as part of our daily routine because God is good. And there's a lot of people around you, maybe in the form of your parents, people that care about you, and they need to be, let it be known that you're thankful to them. I'm concerned about our thanksgiving. Did you know if you want to do the will of God, you're going to be thankful? Everyone says, I want to know the will of God, and God tells us it is His will that we are to be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Why? It's the will of God. If you're unthankful, you are blatantly opposing God's will. He will not reveal to you the next step. So this is an important topic. I generally get the topics at kind of right at the end, right when everybody's heading out the door. I think the last Christmas chapel, you're not honed in. That's why I don't get into this lengthy discourse and try to wow you with something that I can never wow you in anyways. But I tell you what, you get filled with yourself, it's going to eat you up. And I just read this morning with my kids, I actually read it a couple days with our kids, I read about Herod. He gave a great speech, a great oration, the Bible says, and he was filled up. The people said, it is the voice of a God, and the Bible says God smote him, the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. For whatever good is in us, if we can find it, can I just say, quickly deflect the praise and the glory to God. We like to sing songs about ourselves. We like to give ourselves credit. But can I encourage you, if somebody comes and says, hey, you did a good job, you taught a good lesson, you preached a good sermon, you did a good job here, quickly, let that praise be deflected to Him, because all praise and honor and glory is deserved by Him. But this is an issue I think that I struggle with. This is an issue I think our generation struggles with, because we have this mindset that we deserve things. I'm not trying to have the cliche phrase, but what we deserve is the lake of fire. But praise be to God that He gave us a way of escape. Forgive us when we whine should be in our minds. A couple of weeks back, Gideon and I were watching the Paralympics. Remember that? I'm bothered when people make fun of those that have no control of their situation. But I was watching these swimmers with no, I can't swim with two arms. I'm not even joking. I mean, I can survive, but I can't swim. Here's these guys with some no arms or a little stub on the side of them, and they're with their feet up against the wall, and they've got this towel hanging in their mouth to hold them at the starting position, and I'm watching them go back and forth in the pool, and I'm thinking, who am I to complain? But if the slightest thing goes wrong in our life, we are quick to let the world know. Some of us ought to be ashamed of ourselves. How we treat one another. How we treat siblings. How we treat the staff. And I'm not saying this because I have no personal vendetta today. But some of us treat people around us, if they don't march to the beat of our drum, we're quick to whine and complain. Shame on us. Shame on me. I'm not preaching at you, but the Lord has stirred my heart about this idea. We need to give God the glory. All praise and honor and glory needs to go to Him. Psalm 34 is a fun psalm, but if you read it, it says in verse, before you get to verse number 1, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Ahimelech, who drove him away and departed. The context of this is in 1 Samuel 21. Let me just kind of give you a quick context. Chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone?" So David is kind of running from King Saul. He's got some fear in his life, and he comes to this priest, and David says to the priest, "The king hath commanded me a business, lie, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." So basically, because of fear, he runs to the priest, and he just starts lying. And I don't have time to go through the whole context, and the priest is a little bit unsure about this, and David kind of assures him, "It's all okay, I'm on a secret errand." And the priest gives him bread, and then there was a guy standing there watching the whole situation by the name of Doeg. He's just watching what happens. The priest sends David off with his blessing. He sends David off with the sword of Goliath. But David still is in fear, and we find it in verse number 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another hymn and dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gates and let his spittle fall down his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see this man is mad. Wherefore you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen?" And so here's David living this fearful life. And he runs away from the priest. He runs away from Achish. And this is where we find him. We find him in the cave of Adullam when it goes on to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And the crowd that gathers is verse 2. It says, "Everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented." Interesting. "Gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men." So we find David living this, I would say, probably a pretty low point in his life. And you'd think, kind of like Job's friends, when they come to sit with them, Job says, after 7 days of sitting there with no conversation, Job says, "Miserable comforters are ye." Can I help you? When you're down, get around somebody that's going to comfort you. The best place to run is to the Holy Ghost, because He's called the, help me out, He's called the Comforter. That's a good place to run. So David finds himself with these guys that were in debt, that were distressed, and that were discontent. Interesting. That's the crowd he finds himself with. He's at a low point, Brandon. But it seems to indicate, based on Psalm 34, that he begins from the cave to pick up the harp. And he goes from being in a cave to being able to sing a chorus. And that's what I'd like to encourage you about today, because I don't know where you are spiritually, but maybe you feel yourself in a cave. Best place to run is to find a chorus to lift your heart. Because it wasn't that long before this, Brother Cooper, that people were singing about him. You know, the songs about you aren't going to last real long. David had slain his tens of thousands, and out of bed, Alec, that made him feel pretty good. I mean, they're singing about me. Mwah! They love me. But those songs don't last real long. The songs about Jesus, the songs are going to last. Let's lift our voice to Jesus, not lift our voices about ourselves. So we come to Psalm 34. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Here you go. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Can I say this? You know, I'm all all for shouting and singing in church and, you know, people lifting their voices up in the during Empowered Youth and people shouting. Can I say this? That's a wonderful place to start. But we need to also go out in the world and be able to lift our hand and praise God. But I tell you what, for some reason, we get silent out there. That's the easy part. I hope you can sing as we sung, "It is well with my soul." And even as we were singing that song, I was thinking of Gehazi who ran after Naaman. And Naaman asked him the question, "Is all well?" And with a wicked and a greedy heart, he said, "All is well." We can sing it here. But is it well with your soul out there? Verse 4, "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and deliver them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Let me just give you what I'd call the theme of the song today. If you're going to get from the cave to a chorus, you got to look at the theme of the song. First of all, I see it kind of in the form of a solo. I don't sing. If I sing, you notice I sit on the front row at church normally because nobody in front of me has to hear what it sounds like. I thought through it. Because I don't know, people like, when I played trumpet years ago, I would sit in front of people that knew music real, and they just constantly were like, because I was probably off key. But David doesn't worry because he simply says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Can I ask you this morning, what's the song that's in your heart? What's the song that you sing about? If you had a chance to come and sing a solo today, what would be the song that you sing? It's a solo, if you will. He emphasizes what He will do from henceforth. Quit worrying about what He's going to do and quit worrying about what she's going to do. What are you going to sing? We live in a world where everywhere you go, there's music. I come up to give you guys a conversation and I say, "Hey, how you doing?" And sometimes I think you're rude, but then I realize when you pull back the layers of hair, you got the headphones in because you're listening to a song. That's wonderful, but what is your song? If you had a chance to sing, if I could plug in headphones and listen to your CD, what would the song be about? David says, real simple, "I will bless the Lord at all times." I see a consistency. How come it is that I feel like one day I'm ready to serve the Lord and the next day I'm ready to satisfy my flesh? There's a consistency about David's song. It's something continual. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Do we not struggle with consistency? I do. Why is it that I want to walk with the Lord? I come out of a week of Empowered Youth and I just feel so drawn to God and I just want to give my life and I hear a message like Sunday night. I just want to do it because somebody died for me. And 3 days later, I'm figuring out how I can look at the wrong thing or read the wrong thing or satisfy my flesh. What is wrong with this guy? I see a consistency in the song. It's not pleasing God one day and pleasing self the next day. We like to listen to what makes us feel good, don't we? "Oh, that music makes me feel good." What about singing songs that make God feel good? And I don't want that to sound sacrilegious, but man, shouldn't that have our desire be is, "I just want to please Jesus"? David emphasizes what he will do. This is the solo that I'm going to sing. He sings it in humility, what the Bible tells us. Look what he says. "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." You know, prideful people don't like singing about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying, sorry, Reagan, I got to pick on you. Reagan enjoys singing. And I'm just looking over while singing. Well, Jesus, you're just smiling away. I don't know Reagan's heart. But I tell you what, normally when people are wrapped up in their self, they're not going to have the joy of the Lord in their heart. They're going to sit there and they may go through the motions of saying, can I say, just fake like you're enjoying it. But when you got God working in you, guess what? It's going to stir you up to sing. And the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. But notice the solo moves on in verse number 3 to the choir. I get tired of hearing about bad peer pressure. But David begins to sing, and maybe the crowd says, you know what? You need to be drowned out. Let's join. I don't know, but we see in verse number 3, oh, magnify the Lord, next two words, with me, and let us exalt His name together. Man, I was just sitting there listening to you guys sing, and there's like a real loud singing going on from this section right here. And I'm like, who is that? There's something fun about when there's volume. I was loving listening to the youth choir, the 10th through 12th sing during Empowered Youth. I just sit back there. I look like when there's power in the voices. Listen, there comes a point we have some people solo on their own singing about the glory of God. But it's really enjoyable when a whole host of people join them. It can be a contagious thing to praise the Lord. He invites His men, and remember the group of men that He has. In debt, that's you. Right, Isaac? Are you in debt? You will be. Those in distress, finals and projects are coming. You will be in distress. But here's the group that He has, ones that are discontent. And somehow, Caleb, somehow He gets them singing. And our responsibility when the Lord stirs us up, if we start singing, get others to join us. And I see kind of the choir joins in verse number 3. And in this mandate, if you will, He gives us the cause to bless the Lord. Now think about it just for a little bit. When we pray, we often say, God, would you bless us today? Do we not? But the psalmist often says this, bless the Lord. How can I, JJ, in my weak fleshly self, the psalmist encourages me to be a blessing to the Lord? That sounds like something I'd like to do. I would like for me to be a benefit to God, wouldn't you? And the psalmist says, hey, I will bless the Lord at all times. So what I do is to gives the idea to make Him happy with my conduct. Without faith, it is impossible, help me out, to please Him. When I live a life of faith, I am going to be, watch me, a blessing to God. That kind of encourages me. Because when David lived a life of fear, he was lying, he was acting like a lunatic. When he got to the cave, he says, man, I'm living in the cave of Adullam. No play on words here. I'd like to get out of the cave and sing a chorus that I can adore Him. Pretty good title of the sermon if you like titles. Or don't cave in. Start singing a chorus. He says, bless the Lord. Make Him happy with our conduct. Praise the Lord. Worship Him verbally with our mouths. Boast in the Lord. I'll tell you what. It'd be a good idea for some of us. Just start bragging on God. You see my 3? I got, dang. Girl's like, what? Did you see that dish I made? It was all doctored up. You see those culottes I threw down on? Little delayed catch there. You put the cool in culottes. Can you imagine? The Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now watch me. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Why? Can you just picture us in heaven? Colton, see what I did to walk through them pearly gates? That sermon was off the charts, and God's like, come on in. Can you just picture? But that's kind of how we are down here. I'm really glad when you guys get opportunities to preach. I really am. Girls, I'm really glad when you have opportunities to sing and solos. But be careful. Because nowadays when everything's got to be on video, like how many likes do I have? Really? Come on, now stay with me. Shouldn't we be concerned with one like? And it's not going to come through your computer screen. I really would like at the end of today, when I'm done, for nobody to say, oh, but for God to look down and say, I like that. And be perfectly content when God likes what I do. But we live in this, I got to go home and I got to preach and I'm excited. Please don't misunderstand me. I want you guys to be able to preach, but man, we should be just as excited when we jump on the bus every Sunday and encourage a boy or encourage a girl and say, I was able to help them today by God's grace. We should be just as excited about that. There's not levels of spirituality. And we are not going to get into heaven based on what we do. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? I'm sorry to disappoint you. We're going to be bragging about. Because he is worthy. You don't see anything about Paul is worthy and Samson was worthy and David was worthy. But I do hear songs in Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We're going to join that chorus and it's going to be really contagious and we're not going to be able to help it. Can I encourage you? Start singing a solo. Even if you feel out of place, you feel awkward. I got a hunch that there might be one or two or five that's going to join and say, let me join that choir just as much because I tell you what, we got a great God we're talking about. Let us sing. I just love this. The theme of the song is lifting our voices to the Lord. I'm not going to continue on. But if you go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 19, I'll close with this. This is what I wanted to preach on. So I got to at least throw it in there. Because I don't believe the Lord directed me to preach the whole sermon on it. Luke chapter number 19. This is the what we call the triumphal entry of Jesus. Verse 35, this is the colt it's talking about. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, get this, began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We've got this choir. Now we know in about a week, Jesus is going to be, his life is going to be taken. But up to this point, as he comes into the city, a whole group of disciples, a choir is singing. Look at verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. But get this. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now my mind is a little bit odd. I thought, how's that for rock music? But here's my thought. If we aren't looking forward to Christ coming, somebody or something will be. And if it has to go to what I call even inanimate objects, how shameful. Let's lift our voices with thanksgiving these next couple days. The temptation is going to be sit down and watch every movie that you can feast your little minds. I'm just telling you. I know it's coming. Shame on us. Shame on us. when the plan is, I got 48 DVDs ready to go. How about, let's give thanks. Some of us this year spiritually have caved in. Can you just grab the harp? I'm not a string guy. Sorry, string players. I like the trumpet. Because when Jesus is coming, it ain't going to be, wah, wah, wah. Sorry, Sabrina. The trumpet's going to sound. Either way, when you talk about the Lord and His coming, there's always music involved. I'll tell you what will help us is to leave the cave and start singing some choruses about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bless Him. We want His blessing. Lord, bless me with wisdom and bless me with this and bless my job. Help me to make... And we want all kinds of stuff to make us happy. But let our desire these next couple of days say, I want to bless the Lord and make Him happy. That's my challenge. Lord, use this, I ask. Let us well up with a heart of thanksgiving. Let me well up with a heart of thanksgiving. This is not for the high school and college. This is for me today. And shame on me if the rocks have to start singing because I just am tight-lipped. Shame on me if the doorposts move in Isaiah's day and my heart will not move when the presence of God enters. Shame on us. Let us lift up our harps. And whether we have to sing solo, let us be willing to bless the Lord at all times. But I pray that others might join and we have just a choir of singers that are ready to just say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.